as was mentioned to you earlier by the email, is to send the plan out for the formal public review process.
So your vote is just to say, yes, we want you to do an open house, we want it to go to the Planning Commission, we want to do the City Council hearing, we want to gain more input, we want you to send the formal letters to the taxing jurisdictions. It's not saying we approve the plan. Just to make that very clear. And there we go. So this is the proposed urban renewal boundary, and you can see that there is a large section that's outside of the city limits. That property has no assessed value at this point, no taxes are being paid on it to any entity. We talked about bringing it in because it was a property that the Parks District was interested in. The representative on our committee from the Parks District thought it would be a good idea to bring that property in, and it was at their request that we did bring it in. The other acreage you can see is mostly the commercial corridor of Lapine. It also includes a couple of parcels that are zoned mixed use for potential future development. So it's really trying to concentrate your energies on that main commerce area within your city and the areas that would be more densely populated, to make sure that you try to do your projects within a certain focal area. When we looked at it originally, we thought about extending it up further north, and when we looked at acreages and assessed values and where you really wanted to try to concentrate your energies, the committee decided that it was better to focus in a more centralized area and to include that basic commercial core. So this is showing it, just shows you a little better view to see what the streets are and what the boundary is. Echo Northwest is a firm that I partner with on almost all my contracts. They're an economics consulting firm. So they did all the map work and all the financial analysis that goes with this plan. So the statute ORS 457 says for a city of this size, you may only have up to 25% of your total assessed value in urban renewal and up to 25% of your total acreage. So this is where we are right now. The acreage would be about 577 acres. The city of Lapine has 4,474, so you have about 12.9% of the total acreage, so well below what you could have in urban renewal, and that was another reason why we looked at that big parcel and said, well, it's not going to hurt you to put it in. There's really no loss by putting that in at this point. On the assessed value, it's close to your 25%. We actually took some parcels out of the center of that area to get it down below that 25%. What the parcels we took out were parcels that were already in pretty good shape, so we figured they didn't need assistance from urban renewal in the future, and we could identify those and take them out to be able to concentrate your efforts on parcels that actually needed improvement in the future. So with the committee, we developed a set of goals and objectives, and I'll just run through these fairly quickly, but we did those to talk about how you wanted your urban renewal plan to work, and everybody reviewed those. We came back with a second iteration of those to make sure everybody felt comfortable with them. They were developed together with the committee. The first was to provide for community input in the planning and administration. And you've done that. You held the big open house. You had three open community meetings where people could have come. This meeting tonight is a public meeting. There'll be the open house on Wednesday, the Planning Commission meeting, the City Council meeting, and the County Commission meeting will also be an open public meeting. So they wanted to include the community in a Citizens Advisory Committee for planning. Have an informal open house at the chamber, and include citizens in the Urban Renewal Agency, which was done in the City Council's prior actions tonight. The second major goal was economy, to promote the role of the area as an energetic community of local businesses that is supported by the residents of Lapine and outlying areas and by tourists traveling through Lapine. So that was really a main focus of the committee, is saying, let's get our economy moving. Let's do something to help our downtown and make it better. So then it has a number of potential things, develop programs and incentives to encourage expansion of existing businesses, the development of new business activity, create additional jobs within the area, provide for a pleasing visual perception of Lapine, form public-private partnerships. That's something that's done in a lot of urban renewal areas, where the agency will be able to help a developer do a development they wouldn't otherwise have been able to do by investing some urban renewal dollars and making sure that the development actually proceeds and does what helps accomplish the goals of the city. Encourage the creation of a focus area of commercial activity that will strengthen existing businesses and new business activity. So we talked about not dispersing your effort all through the area, but trying to make sure when you start to focus your energies in specific areas so that there can actually be an impact that people can see and feel, and that will help cause other economic development to occur. To promote an entrepreneurial climate for business expansion and growth, including a potential business incubator building. The business incubators in smaller cities seem to be a really good way to help small businesses get started. People share the cost of an overall building within a smaller building, so it's a way to bring new business activity to your area. And then identify opportunities to support tourist, recreational related business activities and growth. For identity, we talked about and saw a lot of pictures of other cities and how they created identity and how that helps people decide to invest in a community. Also helps people driving through a community to decide they want to stop and spend their dollars there. So these two main goals were taken out of your comprehensive plan, which is an adopted city document. The town center would be a compact area that is centrally located and planned for easy walking access. The uses would be comprised of a mixture of commercial businesses, civic buildings, and other community uses. And then within the town center, to create a unique identity that strengthens the sense of place, promotes economic development through resident and tourist visits, and encourages return patronage and leverages private investment within your area. So those are the concepts of what you're trying to do with your urban renewal area. The way or potential ways you can do that, establish gateway features. Redmond has done that. They have the really nice archways. I'll just talk about ones that are close to you that you've probably seen. Improve sidewalks, streetscape, walkways. Sisters right now is doing a huge project in their downtown, not fully funded by Urban Renewal. Urban Renewal is a small component of that, but Urban Renewal is doing other things associated with it, but will really improve that downtown streetscape. I went through it this last weekend and it's looking very nice. It's almost done. Provide business and wayfinding signage. One of the cities that I've seen do that really great is Pendleton. If any of you have been to Pendleton lately, they've done a really nice job of making sure people know what there is to see in our community and giving them directions to get there. Creating gathering places that bring people to your area, so giving people a reason to stop and provide commerce to your area. Assessing the parking needs. So this, we didn't go clear to saying build parking lots or build parking structures, but there was a question about whether there were parking deficiencies, so it talked about trying to make sure you knew what your parking needs were and addressing whether there are deficiencies or not. And then to assist in the development of public facilities that expand or enhance the services provided in the town center and that serve the interests of the citizens of Lapine and tourist activity in Lapine. And those are all general. Somebody was saying at the break, well, yeah, they're all general. They are general. The agency, you guys, at some point when you have money, will develop specific ways to actually make those happen. So you anytime you want to look at a project, if this plan was adopted, you would go back to your goals and objectives and say, is this really something that we wanted to do here or not? Housing and mixed use, there is a large parcel, a couple of parcels that are housing and mixed use that are undeveloped. So to encourage the development of workforce housing opportunities, support services within that area, office opportunities in proximity to housing, and help facilitate the development of public spaces within that mixed-use area. That's not nice. Okay. Infrastructure, to assist in providing infrastructure, water, sewer, stormwater, to encourage the development in Lapine. So to identify where there are needs for infrastructure to be put in and to actually develop that. Public facilities, this is something that came up in our conversations. It wasn't initially in the plan. It came up as a result of talking about that rodeo site and the potential of developing that and the Parks District input. So provide opportunities for residents and visitors to shop and recreate Lapine and support public service providers and existing businesses and providing stimulus for new economic activity. So it says specifically assist in the development and redevelopment of public facilities that provide vital services, fire, police, medical, gathering spaces, and other services for the community, including the proposed rodeo and event site. The potential projects all fall within these kinds of categories, and when we did the financing, we identified funding under those categories. Again, not saying at X Street and X Street we're going to put in a sidewalk, and we didn't go to the specificity of where you're going to do this, but to allow the community as it grows and develops to address that and to address what the needs are of the community as you go, but to know that these are the areas where we think if you address those areas, it will help improve your community. So creating identity, streetscape art, trees, benches, arches, gathering spaces, wayfinding, signage for businesses. Signage for businesses is a really big component. It helps make sure everybody knows what businesses you actually have in your city, and if you can make them attractive and nice, you're going to get more people to stop than just your local residents who will support those businesses because they live here. Assistance, storefront loans is a really popular kind of activity, so it helps improve the exterior of the businesses within your community. A lot of times you'll improve one business, the next business decides they'll improve their business, they'll improve something inside, so it helps spur economic activity. It allows for acquisition. It does not allow for acquisition of a property that someone does not want to sell. You cannot do that in Oregon anymore. So there's no condemnation of property there unless it's for a public purpose like a sidewalk or a storm sewer. That's the only time you can do condemnation anymore. So acquisition doesn't mean I can go buy your property from you and decide to sell it to X person. That's not an allowed activity. Parking again, and then infrastructure and public facilities. Whenever you're doing an urban renewal plan, you have to do a financial analysis, and you identify a time frame for how long you want urban renewal to go, and you have to identify what kind of inflation factor or growth factor you think is going to occur within that time frame. There are many, many urban renewal areas across the state that have gone longer than 25 years, and that's one of the problems with urban renewal, is people say it goes on and on and on. We made a specific commitment that this urban renewal area would be projected over a 25-year time frame, and the projections show that all bonds would be paid off at the end of that 25 years. A lot of urban renewal areas will project a time frame, but the bonds aren't paid off till later, so you're still collecting increment after that time frame. We made a decision to do our financial analysis over that 25-year period. Over the break, someone said, well, we're assuring or saying growth is going to happen. We can't say just because you have an urban renewal plan, growth is going to happen, or assure that the growth will happen at the rate that we're projecting. What we can say is we've made reasonable projections based on our experience in other cities and what happens in urban renewal. We actually made a pretty conservative growth assumption for you at 4%. When Central Oregon was having your boom days, everything was over 10% increases. However, in the last couple of years, some of those increases have been, you know, below 1%. So we took an average of 4%. That doesn't mean we're guaranteeing you'll get a 4% increase in assessed value over the years. It also doesn't mean that that 4% gets you to that $7,017,000. But you'll never be able to place a bond for more money or spend, put yourself in debt for more money than you're actually really getting on that assessed value increase. So it used to be in urban renewal, lending was done based on, we think this project's going to happen out here and it's going to bring X amount of new assessed value into the city. That doesn't happen anymore. No buyers of bonds will buy bonds based predicated on that anymore. They'll only buy bonds based on existing cash flow. And so the financials that are laid out in your plan are based on looking at a 4% growth in assessed value and projecting, if that happens, what amount of money you would have. So although we based it on 25 years and a 4% growth, if you had a much higher growth rate, you still only get that $7 million of maximum indebtedness at this point. Okay? If you decided to increase that, there's abilities to increase it, but if you increase it over a certain level, then all the taxing jurisdictions, 75% of the taxing jurisdictions have to agree to that. So this is based on what our financial analysis says is a reasonable expectation. If you grow only at 2% for the next 10 years, you'll never reach that $7,017,000 maximum indebtedness in your 25-year time frame. If we went into another recession and your growth is only at 1 or 2%, you won't be able to gain enough money to spend that amount of money. So the option at that point is we did not put a time limit within the urban renewal plan. We didn't say it expires in 25 years. Our projections, we think, are conservative and they go for 25 years. But if at that point you haven't been able to raise off of that tax increment that amount of money, it could go longer. So I want to make that real clear. Nobody's guaranteeing that increase. The city council, the agency at that point could say, we only want to go 25 years. But there isn't, at this point in the plan, a limitation that says you will only go this amount of time.
What if it's over that growth rate?
If it's over that growth rate, you would shut down early because you would get your $7 million and you would do the projects and your urban renewal area would be over. Now, I have to say there are urban renewal areas like the one in Redmond I talked about earlier, got to the point where they could see they were going to reach their maximum indebtedness and said, there's more we want to do. They went out and talked to their taxing jurisdiction partners and got them to agree that that was a good thing to do. They increased their maximum indebtedness. So you can do that. That's allowed under the statute to increase the maximum indebtedness. So the maximum indebtedness is a total amount of money that you're allowed to spend in the lifetime of your plan on projects and programs within the urban renewal area. So administration, to run the urban renewal area can be added into that. The thing that's kind of interesting, that interest on your money that you pay is not added into that $7 million. So in the plan it says your maximum indebtedness is $7 million, but it will take $8 million something to actually service that amount of maximum indebtedness. So when we look at the impacts of the taxing jurisdictions table, the total number is an $8 million number, not the $7 million number, and that's because that includes that interest.
And who's going to administer?
The Urban Renewal Agency will make the decisions, and it's usually then administered by the city. So at the last meeting, I think we talked about how do you pay for that administration. And it was the recommendation of the committee that we add in a certain percentage of the total increment per year to be used for administration of the urban renewal area, so that there would be some funding to allow for paying. You have to do an audit every year. You have to do an annual report every year that's required by statute. So there are administrative costs to running an agency, and then if you start doing projects, somebody's got to manage those projects. So I believe we put 5%? I'll get it. I wrote it down. 5% for administration.
Now, every year. Unheard of, or is it reasonable for, say, not just Urban Renewal paying for some of that administration, but the city paying for some of that, economic development paying for some of that?
Yeah, a lot of times, especially in small cities, you'll have one person who does a lot of things, and Urban Renewal may be part of some of those things they do, and they don't bill anything directly to Urban Renewal for that. So yes, that happens. That happens a lot, where a city will say, "We're not going to bill all of our administration to Urban Renewal," because what happens is, if you bill your administration to Urban Renewal, it takes away from those monies that you can spend on projects.
Yes.
So that $7,017,000 is the total amount of money for projects, programs, and administrations included in that. So if every year you spend some money on administration, that's less money you get to spend on projects and programs.
Yep.
Important point. Good point. We estimated the 25-year time frame from the point that you actually started getting money. So not from the point it's adopted, because that first year you don't actually take any money, so you can't say use that money to add up to. So the first year you are estimated to get money is in 2016, so the 25-year time frame is from 2016. So on the first year, it's always difficult, because the way Urban Renewal works is you establish an area, the tax assessor establishes the total assessed value within that area, and establishes what's called a frozen base. And that frozen base is that line that was on the fire chief's bar, and all the taxing jurisdictions continue getting their taxes off of that frozen base for the term of Urban Renewal. Any increase in value of the taxes off of that, just in the Urban Renewal area, not the city as a whole, go to the Urban Renewal Agency. So by statute, you're required as a consultant or developing these plans to show the projected impact on the taxing jurisdictions. So we have a big table in the plan and report, and I'm just showing you here a part of that table. So this is looking at the first year that the Urban Renewal Agency is projected to get money. So we said there's going to be a 4% increase in assessed value. So this is predicated on a 4% increase. It may or may not be. If it's lower than that, these numbers are lower. If it's higher than that, these numbers are higher. So then we went to the assessor's office and looked at what their permanent rate levy is for this year. So that's actually 2 years behind, right? This is a 2013-14 levy, and you're getting money in 2016. So you would anticipate that that levy would actually be bigger at the point that Urban Renewal money start coming in and taking from them. And then projected what percentage of that total levy the amount in the first year would be. And that is where the city manager was talking about the numbers for the fire district earlier. So actually, the city of Lapine gets the biggest hit. And that's because you have the smallest boundary from which to take taxes. And so you don't have other properties surrounding to continue coming into that permanent rate levy. So your percentage impact at that point is 2.98%. The concept that the city manager was talking about earlier is, yeah, every year that amount of money that you're taking from the taxing jurisdictions going up by 4%. But if the overall economy is improving, or whatever the economy is improving, their permanent rate levies are also going up. And so I took a look at the total permanent rate levy increases for the fire district, just because I knew that was going to come up tonight. And over the last, from 2006. So last year, their permanent rate increase was 4.52%. So if it held at that, their overall growth is increasing at a rate higher than what we projected for these numbers. So the actual impact on them, if that continued, would be smaller. However, in 2011, there was 0%. So the impact is going to be a little bigger because theirs didn't grow as much. We all hope we're out of that recession area, right, where we didn't see any growth. In 2008, their growth was 5.35%. In 2009, it was 0.71. 2010, 0.53. So in 2006, it was 8.16. So, you know, you average all those together, you're going to get somewhere close to what we put as an average of about 4%. So as those numbers of impact go up, their permanent rate levies are also going up. So you would expect that relationship to remain at that percentage that's shown there. It will vary. I mean, the best economists in the world can't predict what happens in our economy, unfortunately. So we can just project based on what we've seen happen and what makes sense in terms of what's happened in other urban renewal areas or statewide. And again, it's just projections. There's no promises on those. We can say we've seen urban renewal be really successful in other cities, but we can't promise it's going to be really successful here. There are some cities where it hasn't done anything, and that's because they're Garibaldi. There's been no growth there for years. And unless there's some growth, they're not going to get any money to be able to do any projects. So it's not always successful. These are the schools. And again, as Rick said, at this point, the way school funding is set up is that it's funded on a per pupil basis. And if there is money, it's funded not only from property taxes, but it's funded from lottery taxes and from some income taxes. So if there aren't enough property taxes to make that amount that they need in the state school fund, they backfill it with other pots. There's a lot of controversy about whether that's good, that's bad, can that be continued. We don't have control over that. We don't know that. All I tell you is that's how it's done now. That's just a fact. There, I can't say whether it's good or bad or the right thing to do. It's just what is. So these are the overall impact. And again, we use the 4% rate. But it doesn't matter what rate we put in there because the impact will only be as big as the assessed value actually grows. So if it only grows at 3%, then the impact will be lower, right? On a total basis to achieve that amount of maximum indebtedness. So the process is tonight you will decide whether or not to send it out for public review, and you can do that by a motion. And if you do send it out to public review, this is what is set up, the June 18th open house and planning commission meeting. We sent out last week a letter to the taxing jurisdictions as an informal letter because we wanted to make sure they got that. A number of them had been involved in the process. Others had been invited to be involved, so they knew the process was going, but we wanted to make sure people had information before the meeting tonight. The formal letter will actually go out tomorrow, and we'll send a letter to Deschutes County tomorrow also asking for the public hearing for them to decide whether they want to vote to approve the plan given the property outside of the area. A notice to Lapine citizens will be going out. Has to be mailed to every citizen, and there are a number of different lists that you can use, and the city is mailing that out now. July 9th, there'll be a city council hearing, and that notice to the citizens tells them there'll be a hearing on July 9th, and take testimony all night long from whomever wants to show up and give testimony. We'll go to the Deschutes County Commission and have them vote, And on July 23rd, the City Council would come back, and they are the body that actually can adopt an urban renewal plan. So that would be their decision at that point. And they would vote on an ordinance, and the ordinance is a non-emergency ordinance that takes 30 days before it becomes effective. That's my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And again, all you're doing tonight is sending it out for public review if you decide to adopt that motion.
Okay. Thank you very much, Emily. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, I will ask for a motion to forward the Lapine Urban Renewal Plan and accompanying report through the formal public review.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Let the record reflect that is unanimous. I said aye too.
You don't have to, yes, not a conflict here, it's not part of it.
Everybody knows that the mayor doesn't vote normally, so it's unanimous. We approve. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Okay, everyone can come down to the Chamber of Commerce on
5 o'clock.